Hello again. This is Your Politics, the RTE Politics team's weekly take on political goings on. Of course, in this case, it's Campaign 24 with me, Paul Cunningham and Mary Regan. As soon as Micheál Lehane has gotten himself a cup of coffee, badly needed, he will be joining us. And Mary, I suppose before we talk politics, the practical reality, you'd pity anyone going out canvassing in this weather at the moment, wouldn't you? They'd certainly need the thermals. And I mean, you've been getting pictures of lots of snow, lots of Sneachta where you are.
And Galway West, always already a highly competitive constituency, and beautiful scenes from my home village of Machquillan. And the snow is falling and things look gorgeous there. But a bit of a logistical difficulty for canvassers to get down every boreen, and many, you know, different parts of a very rural constituency. Of course, that's already a very competitive constituency there in Galway West. So whether it changes the focus, but it also provides nice pictures, nice imagery for all the canvassers to put up on their social media sites as well.
And it's getting, isn't it, Paul? It's getting into that final week. They're all starting to squabble now. The nails are out anyway.
Yeah, although you could argue that it's not squabbling. This is the red meat of politics. All of the policies are out now. And I'm going to say that Micheál Lehane's policies are absolute rubbish and the brickbats are going to fly. And that's what it's all about. And I think to a certain extent, there was a report Micheál was doing earlier on where he was talking about tension. And part of the tension relates to the proximity of polling day. Like, this is it. And if something happens in the next few days, it could have a roll-on effect on the outcome. So everyone is up to high dough. At the same time, they're also knackered. And so things can get tetchy. Put all that together, it just gets a little bit more exciting.
People are exhausted because it means such a long run into this campaign. Yeah. It feels like it's been going on for a very long time already, and it is one of the shortest campaigns. And
although, do you know what? Bertie Ahern, who was talking about this on the Indo Daily with Finian McGrath, he was saying, short campaign, 3 weeks. Actually, it's been going on for 3 months. In many ways, this is why it doesn't feel so new at this stage.
Yeah, we were well into it by the time Simon Harris went down to the Oras to call the election.
Yes.
And they, you know, they've been going knocking on those doors for weeks
Martin
now.
Micheál Martin had said at the last parliamentary party meeting before the summer, hadn't he, that not to take too much time off and to keep canvassing. So effectively it ran through the summer, didn't it?
Yeah, so it was just about when the posters went up, really.
Yeah.
We've been seeing lots of piggy banks this week.
Yes, we have. Very interesting, this piggy bank idea that all of the money being saved, Fine Gael says, through its hard work, and something to do with Fianna Fáil and the Green Party at the same time, and it's all going to be squandered by Sinn Féin. What was interesting about that for two reasons. One was that I was down at the Sinn Féin manifesto launch, and Fine Gael managed to have a presence there, even though it was Sinn Féin's day, in which reaction from Pascal Donoghue was being put to Piers Doherty as he was speaking to the journalist. A little bit unusual. But the point was that Pascal Donoghue was making a claim in relation to what was in the manifesto, and it simply wasn't there, which was that Sinn Féin was making a commitment that it was going to spend money from the two savings funds that we have.
Which they say they'll actually augment in office over
their
time.
15 billion,
exactly, through surpluses. And so it started off a sort of a strange war, but it comes back to the same thing. Over the past next 24 hours, we've moved into the area of economics. And so Fine Gael hasn't apologised for what it said, but it's trying to get into the area, which is that Sinn Féin is high tax, big spend, and the tailwinds are coming to the economy and they're not going to be able to save you. And so don't take that risk. We're the sensible ones. We look after you. That's the
which is exactly what Brian Cowan did at that point in the 2007 election, asking where the money was going to come
You're
from.
You're hearing
for the
echoes
promises.
Of 2007.
Oh, yeah, it's clear. We're at that moment, but does it work this time? But that definitely is the tactic by Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Also kind of thinking that this thing has to be kick-started. People have to start getting engaged and this is the way to do it. Bring it onto the economy. And of course, there is that massive backdrop on the cabinet hearing yesterday about the level of instability that exists now about the country's economic future. So it all plays into that. So you're just going to have to wait till see on Saturday with the opinion polls. Have people begun to engage, though?
And talk to me. I'll come back to that later, the economic outlook and what that means for all these promises we're getting at the moment and how much of a pinch of salt we maybe need to...
It's all contingent on you.
Yes, exactly. And it'll be very interesting hearing what all the finance officials say whenever they sit down with whoever the next government is. Fianna Fáil and Aintool, though, Micheál, they've been... It's been getting quite bitter.
Yeah, I think Fianna Fáil privately now regret this, that they've given Padraig Tobin a massive platform today. And it all goes back to those comments on the upfront debate where he said Fianna Fáil was a hollow husk of a party without policy. So as a result, great to do business with. They can be directed in any way. And Micheál Martin reacted today, saying that that was arrogant and disrespectful to him and the party. So, and he wouldn't do business with Aontú. And Padraig Tobin saying, well, that is a bruised ego. You don't do this. Put the country first. And then later saying that he'd even give Micheál a hug if he met him. I don't think Fianna Fáil and Aontú probably will be doing business at the end of all this.
And funnily enough,
he did try to say too, Padraig Tobin, that this really wasn't a go at the members at all, and that Fianna Fáil had a history of building houses in the past. It was just the leadership he was talking to. So making a pitch to others to get in on the post-election negotiations.
And Roderick O'Gorman, I mean, he had a fairly quiet time in the upfront debate, didn't he? But he's certainly been trying to make noise about the Greens' impact since.
Yeah, I mean, he had a rather robust interview on Morning Ireland this morning and was pushed to the pin of his collar in relation to that. I think that Roderick has got a couple of things going on. First of all, he's having to defend his own policy. He's got to advance that new green agenda, but he also has to really work hard within the constituencies because, one, he's fighting for his life within his own constituency, although most people say they expect him to get back. But all of the Greens are in tight contests. And whereas he said on Morning Ireland that, you know, they would hold everything he had and get three more, observers would say he'd be lucky to get half that. So, you know, he has to do an awful lot of work. He has to carry some of that load. He is more political than Eamon Ryan was, but maybe Eamon Ryan was more popular than Roderick O'Gorman. So I think they're in a real bind. I think all of them, I met a few of them out canvassing in the past couple of days. They're all looking tired, but they've got to push through because they don't have any time to waste.
But they can hold something. It is different, isn't it, 2011?
No comparison with 2011.
Yeah.
Okay, and Mary, it's interesting, the reaction from a lot of politicians, even though the figures for the upfront debate were really, really good. I mean, people were interested, and that's what's being said about, you know, podcasts and articles, and people are interested, people are watching. On the other hand, the difficulty is when you sit down and you look at that big stage of 10 people, you've a whole lot of opposition, but where's the alternative government?
Yeah, and I think that is one of the reasons why this campaign has been described as flat or, you know, not very engaging or whatever. It's because there is this sort of lack of clear, the kind of dichotomy that was there in the last election campaign. And, you know, that is because there is a sense of sort of inevitability in one way about Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael rejoining in government. And Sinn Féin, although, you know, they could do well, hasn't sort of offered how they would form a government. Or, you know, like in the last 2020 election, there was this sort of vote left, transfer left, and there was a possibility there. But I think this time around, people are sort of failing to see the clear alternative maybe and the competition. Now, that is actually a dangerous thing for the government parties in many ways. They don't like to hear that, actually, because, you know, they're saying that, you know, that's kind of breeds complacency. Also, if you look at the family care and the care referendums, they had the same sense on the doorstep. You know, maybe people aren't as angry as they were last time and all this kind of stuff. But actually, you know, they got a land on that day when the referendum was counted. So, you know, I don't think anyone's really taking this for granted, but it doesn't appear like a two-way contest in the way it previously did.
And I think
you're
right. At the same time, though, Sinn Féin didn't run a lot of candidates the last time. And I know there was a push towards the idea that a left government could form. But in numbers terms, I don't know how realistic that ever was. And if you look back at the debate that chaired by Murray McCallan and David McCullough with the three potential people who were Taoiseach. That was the point that Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin made a few times, in that you're not running enough candidates to be serious here about becoming Taoiseach. Of course, it's different this time, but at the same time...
Well, 71 still isn't 88. No. So the question is who they would do the deal with. And it didn't look the other day on that platform, did it, Paul, that they were all queuing up to back Mary Louise Taoiseach?
No, they weren't. And to a certain extent, that comes down to some of Sinn Féin's own policies. And one of them is in relation to the carbon tax and reversing the two recent increases. And if you were going to try and be the vanguard of a left-leaning government, how can you do that, have a policy like that? Because, you know, it immediately puts offside the Social Democrats, the Labour Party and the Greens. So the question is, where is the numbers? Where are the numbers for that left-leaning government? So I think that contributes to what Mary says, is maybe voters looking in, thinking they don't see what the choice is and tuning out. And that raises the possibility, of course, is a possible low turnout and that can affect all of the predictions that people are making.
Or it could be a high turnout. They're watching, they're waiting, and they're going to shift in the last week. That happens too.
That's what we want.
And there's two figures relevant there, isn't there? The nearly 1 million people that watched the upfront debate and the fact that you had over 100,000 people registering to vote at the beginning of the month. That would suggest people are beginning to zone in and out of this and are keeping their powder dry for the moment.
But isn't that what puts the fear of God in politicians, especially in a winter campaign? A lot of them saying you can't be knocking on the doors after 7:30 at night. You know, people putting their kids to bed don't like it. Although some of them were saying, actually, work from home has made a difference and you can actually now encounter a lot more people during the day when you're doing your canvass. But still, when they're not getting that response from the doorsteps, it starts making them nervous, doesn't it?
Absolutely, it does. And even, you know, within the 2 weeks that this campaign has been running, I would talk to a number of politicians just to check in with them and see how they're going. And you still have that response of, I think it's doing, but I think. But what they are saying on the doorsteps is that things like cost of living is coming up, maybe more than they expected, but they still don't have a read within the constituencies themselves. And to a certain extent, while there have been predictions made in the individual constituencies, the battle is still there. And I wouldn't base too much on the predictions we've heard so
far.
And
a big unknown in all of that is the independents and how they are going to eat into the bigger parties vote in individual constituencies. Sinn Féin potentially looking over their shoulder at independents, taking some of their votes, putting some of their seats at risk. Also places where maybe Fine Gael might want to pick up two seats, or where Fianna Fáil is looking at seats. Independents are the big unknown. And if there is to be, you know, a big surprise on the day that votes are counted, it probably will be the level of independents that are elected.
And actually, that's the I was thinking about this earlier today, because you had the whole Harris campaign in the States and it was the same question, an incumbent saying, I'm the new face. I'm the new face on what you had before. And it seemed to be going very well. The polls said it was going very well. And then it didn't go very well. In fact, she lost fairly thoroughly. I suppose the nightmare for Simon Harris is that something similar would happen here.
Yeah, where does it go, though? I mean, and that comes back to that fear about the low turnout as well, that that's the more likely scenario there, or if it does go to independence. So it's tricky. I know politicians are nervous and they say people are being quite polite, and that does get harder to read. At the same time, in the bigger parties, and certainly in one of them, I think there's a degree of confidence that things are going OK. And I think that's within Fianna Fáil. I think it's not being said publicly, but you can detect it. And they're looking at places like Donegal, where they might, two seats might be a possibility. Mm-hmm. Two seats in Mayo might be a possibility. Two seats in Clare. Could there even be two seats in Kerry? Those thoughts are circulating. At the same time, when it comes to Fianna Fáil confidence, they were extremely confident right up to the night before polls closed the last time, and that was totally misplaced.
Yeah. I suppose the thing
fact that they slipped below 40 was a total shocker because everything had been going higher. The question was how high, you know?
Yeah, never underestimate the Irish voter. And I suppose the other thing they'll all be watching very, very closely in the polls that are to come, weekend, early
so
next
we believe
week.
The Sunday Independent, I think, will have a poll. The Irish Times on Monday will have a poll. So you'll get two polls coming up with days to go. And then you've got.
But say if there isn't movement in the polls, though. Imagine that. That means that everything will be determined by the final few days.
Including
in a way that you haven't seen before. I mean, typically in recent, I mean, since 2011, what you saw is a trend beginning before an election, wasn't it? That gets amplified and heightened through the course of the campaign. If you don't have movement this week, well, then that's a kind of unique, tricky situation for
that
politicians.
That really is squeaky bum territory for them, isn't it?
And it also just builds up to Tuesday, and you've got that televised debate between the three leaders of the three biggest parties.
That may be the most critical encounter of this whole campaign.
It could be.
It'll be very interesting.
And how Micheál Martin and Simon Harris don't appear as one, as it were, which sort of happened, you know, in the 2020 debate with the three leaders.
I don't think they were too happy with standing beside each other on Monday night either.
Yeah, to distinguish themselves from each other, that is the task, really, for those two parties, because that debate in 2020 was a very pivotal key moment for Mary Lou MacDonald. She performed very well in it. So this, you know, next week, you know, she it's a big opportunity for her, you know.
And even in that debate in 2020, they were struggling, weren't they, even then, to show that they were individual and it was only confidence and supply, let alone now. And they can't go on the attack like they did the last night in the opening period, in particular, a kind of a tag team versus Mary Lou MacDonald. That won't hold over the course of the 2-hour debate coming up next week, you know.
The other thing I love in elections, and it's not something that gets coverage on a lot of platforms because it's all the stuff that's off the record, but it's, you know, you meet candidates who are telling you, you know, they're getting no support from the party locally, or there's this, that and the other against them and they're having a terrible time. You get, there are all of these dynamics going on the ground in the different
constituencies. It's also like the human emotion. I went into my local shop and I found a politician who'd been on the campaign trail for probably 3 months and looking absolutely flat out. And he was distressed. And the reason why he was distressed was that he was off the alcohol for the entirety of the campaign. His little reward each night was a packet of hula hoops. And he'd gone into the shop, all the hula hoops had been sold. And he was standing there looking dejected at 10:30 at night.
That's nearly as sad as Leo. Do you remember when he was giving out about his Donnybrook Fair takeaways at the end of a long campaign day? Well, pity the poor. Yeah, I know. I've met others and they've gone and moved back in with Mammy so as they'd get their clothes washed and their dinners cooked.
Name names there on your lawn.
A young candidate in Dublin Bay North.
No, actually, it was. But I'm not giving any clues because then we'd have to be reading all the constituencies and all the list of names, and we can't be doing that.
So back in the box room in a good way. Back in their childhood bedroom in a good way, is it?
Yeah, generation politician, a generation candidate. Okay, well, they will all have their thermals on, and good luck to them, as I say, over in the west and down in the southwest, ploughing through all that snow and still trying to get their message across to voters. We'll be talking to you again
just
next week.
Just one final key promise, of course, is this election that was made by ANT today. They're going to cut the price of drink in pubs by 10 cent per unit of alcohol to save the Irish pub and to cut down on rural isolation. And because a drink in a pub is a healthier drink, Padraig Tobin said, because there are controls there.
And that means a lot to you, Micheál.
Well, it's a notable promise.
And on that note, we leave it. Goodbye.